Midnight Musings podcast. We are on our second episode. Can you believe that? Second episode already. And so we're going to continue on with these random Midnight Musings. We have a special guest tonight. Our guest is going to be Jeremiah Villapando. Jeremiah, what brings you here today?
So I'm here to talk about health and fitness. I'm not much of a fitness guy, but I am doing a lot of changes with my own health for a while now. It's been great, and you know, my body feels a lot better now.
So he's here to pitch us Herbalife then. I guess that's what it is. That's what it's come down to. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Jeremiah. So I want to get into fitness too. Tell me about, you know, a little bit about your background. What has been the journey from you? Give us even childhood. I mean, what did you enjoy doing for fitness, and what are you doing now for fitness and health?
So I grew up playing a lot of basketball. So it started with, you know, middle school, sixth grade, I tried out for basketball.
Okay.
Didn't make it. Seventh grade till high school, I played a lot of basketball. So I was in high school, JV, and freshman team. I didn't make it to varsity, unfortunately, but
they're lost.
But I've loved basketball ever since, and I'm still playing it to this day. I play at the Tarkini League at Rancho.
Okay. So, you know, explain to us your journey, you know, doing sports and doing basketball. Is it something that is like entertainment for you, or is it more almost like therapeutic, or is it just to get your workout in? I mean, how would you describe your relationship with basketball and sports in general?
It's therapeutic to me. I mean, it's entertainment and therapeutic, because when I get into a gym, especially if I haven't gone to a gym at 6 a.m. because that's the most challenging for me, but if I do go to a gym at 6 a.m.
yeah,
I can smell the fresh paint of, you know, the
you whole smell gym, victory
pretty much. And you know, it's the squeaks of sneakers, that's just like therapeutic. I mean, sounds really weird for some people, but to me it's like music to my ears.
Right. Yeah, no, everyone has that, you know. I think that's the beauty part of life, right? So we're interrupting this podcast in the middle of the podcast because one of the lights just fell down, and so we don't know if that's like some paranormal beef. Like, this is a new facility, but I don't know, maybe someone passed away in construction, and you know, and they didn't like Jeremiah's talk about basketball. So
someone probably died. Someone probably died, and they're buried underneath.
Someone straight up tried to dunk in the construction site and they died. So that's our new theory. All right. But going back to your story, going back to this idea of, you know, of finding therapy in just, you know, I would say even sports, but finding that thing that is just music to your ears. And yeah, I think there's things that can be duplicated that have their online versions. Sure, I mean, you can play a video game and you can emulate that, but it just doesn't come close to that real world experience of you, you know, doing your thing. Is there anything else that you really enjoy that it gives you this kind of sense of therapy, or is it unique to playing basketball?
It's a mix of both. Because back 2018, my brother and I play at the same league.
Okay.
So we won 3 straight championships. And then after that, I pretty much retired for a bit. So until this year, 2023 of last year, I came back. So about four or five year of like hibernation.
Okay. So like, and again, I am basketball illiterate, but like, do the local leagues give you rings? Because that'd be so cool if you're just like repping rings. I'm like, yeah, these Las Vegas edition, Green Valley edition. Like, look at these rings.
No, most of them do, but for our division, I think we got only trophies.
Okay.
So, and then my brother has the MVP, like big one, and she has the MVP trophy. So he has nice. Both the team's trophy and an MVP. So this year I'm trying to get that.
Yeah, trying to aim for the trophy, guys, you know. And that's the thing, you know, aim for victory, right? And I think that's the best that we can do, right? And this is kind of turning to life lesson, but it's kind of interesting too, because I feel that nowadays so many things to do with sports are like participation prizes. You know, it's like you do it for the sake of doing it, and that's great to do it for health-wise, but it's like, don't you want to, you know, strive for something?
What's the point of participation trophy? I mean, Kobe had said himself, he doesn't care about participation.
Yeah.
He wants the actual
It's about doing a metric, a goal, you know, or something. So, like, I guess my question for you would be, you know, as you're playing basketball and stuff, what is kind of your overall health goal? Do you have somewhere that you want to achieve to? What does that look like?
I mean, health-wise, I do want to lose weight, more weight. So I'm like 200 right now, 205, trying to go back to at least 180, 185. Yeah. But it's more of the reason why I came back after 4 or 5 years of hiatus,
yeah,
is for me, I just missed it. I missed the camaraderie of like screaming defense and hey, because I'm on a center, so my position on defense is center. So I'm like, you know, screaming, talk to me, talk to me. Like, and when I see the ball going left, I'm screaming left, left, left side.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's so helpful too on the social standpoint. I don't think people really understand that, like, being involved in a team, anything, is just so good for your mental health. Like, being able to talk to people, to communicate with people. Yes, even if it is screaming with your fellow teammates, you know, it's that communication because it puts you into in a form of almost, like, you know, fight or flight, right? You're in survival mode. In those seconds, you know, you are really actively using the skills that our ancestors use, and you're putting yourself in that mode. And I think it's so helpful to put ourselves out of, like, your regular comfort mode, whether that's, you know, working from the office or, you know, doing your daily errands, and just put some more intensity in your life.
Right? I think it's the same thing it connects with business.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a team game and you're connecting with them and your communication level. I mean, I've seen communication level increase when I'm playing sports.
Okay, so here's an interesting question then. Because I've seen a lot of, you know, players across different sports, whether that's basketball or soccer and other things, they end up becoming really good entrepreneurs. So do you think that there's some kind of correlation, some kind of theory between being a good athlete and being a good business person?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, you see them all the time. You got Tony Parker, you got Kobe Bryant, you got... Yeah.
Shaq. Shaq is literally everywhere. He endorses like practically everything.
It's everywhere. I mean, I think basketball or any sport teaches you a lot of the communication skills.
Right.
I mean, you see it all the time. I have to communicate with my transaction coordinator. I got to communicate with the listing agent.
What does that mean? You're speaking gibberish, Jeremiah. Explain what you do. What is this transaction coordinator? Are you some kind of drug dealer? You're like, yeah, let me bring in my kilos. You know, I need.
So a transaction coordinator is basically like my assistant.
Okay.
So she does all my paperwork. I hate paperwork. So she does everything for me.
Shout out transaction coordinators.
So I pass it on to her if something, you know, significant happens, or if I have to put an offer in, I tell her, hey, this client wants $400,000. Here's the list of contingencies my client wants, blah, 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 boom, 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 send the offer. I just sign it and review it.
Rinse and repeat. So basically real world practical skills right now, delegation, teamwork, all that kind of stuff is very centered and applies to business too, which I think is kind of interesting. So you know what? What I'm curious of, I'm going to do a poll right now and I'm curious to see what the answers are. So comment down below if you are an athlete or you enjoy doing sports and you're also an entrepreneur. I'm so curious to see what the ratio is on that. And then also comment, I guess, if you are just one or the other. And you absolutely have nothing to do with them, and you think we're just crazy for putting this idea, this theory, this correlation in place. I don't know. Okay, so we're talking about a lot of fitness. We're talking about health. Let's kind of like hone in a little bit more on the health aspect too, because again, that's at least those are the stats that we're being told recently, is that, you know, it's 80% diet and, you know, 20% fitness. And like, it's hard for me to apply that because I hate diet. I just like to eat. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what is your, I guess, your dietary nutrition and what struggles do you have with that?
I mean, the struggles right now is sweets. You probably have the same situation. Okay,
come on, Jeremiah, list off some sweets. What's on your mind right now?
I mean, I love ice cream. I mean, you probably do also, but I used to struggle with calories, but now I practically got the calorie down, counting it and making sure that I don't go past 3,000
okay.
a day.
Nice. And, you know, for those of you that are not, like, fitness aficionados and you're not totally jacked like us, I'm just kidding, right? You're not, like, super bulging. So you may be under that misconception that it's, like, the 2,000 calorie a day limit or whatever. Listen, guys, that is, like, the most generic, completely inaccurate recommendation. It's, like,
it's a myth.
2,000 calories. I mean, I don't even know who put in that random number, guys.
You're going to be really weak.
Yeah. If you participate in any kind of physical activity regularly, that's nothing. I mean, unless, you know, obviously, like, there's so many factors that go in place. Obviously, size-wise, right? I mean, if you are, like, a 5-foot girl and you weigh, like, 110 pounds, okay, cool. Maybe that's a good caloric consumption for you. But if you're a male, you know, and you're here in America, you're going to be eating a lot of calories.
And if you're active, you need all those calories.
Yeah, put them to work.
I used to basically binge on, let's say, 2-3 days of Panda Express or even...
Ooh, Panda Express.
It sounds so good, but
yeah.
That regret at the end of the day of being bloated,
yeah,
I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Right, post-Panda clarity. Like, it's just, I don't know, I find that so incredible because, you know, reverse your statement and take out the food and replace it with, like, hard drug or something, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, we're having the same discussions as if someone would in, like, a recovery meeting. And the reason why is because, like, these foods are engineered, they're marketed, they're perfectly designed to make you addicted to them.
I mean, look at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, most of my marketing is basically similar to McDonald's, like red and yellow.
Yeah.
Why do you think they put red and yellow, like, colors? It's to make you salivate when you see yellow. It's like happiness.
Right.
When it's red, it's like, it's important.
Right. It's love. You know, it's interesting too, talking about color theory, because I have some design, you know, background as well, apart from marketing. And so, like, red is just intensity. You feel intensity, you feel love, you feel this warmth, this heat, you know, and you couple that with yellow, which is that positivity, that happy yeah. energy. And it's like, you know, you got a pretty interesting formula, and that's just the marketing aspect. That's like literally 1%. Because there's so many different aspects that go into it. You have literally the... Okay, so this is going to be kind of interesting. People normally would consider fries to be pretty vegan friendly. Okay? And so I proudly eat whatever I want. But anyways... but this is this new kind of feud, because I know that some of my... you know, vegan friends and associates would gladly and proudly scarf down some McDonald's fries. But guess what? You can't, because they are cooked in, I believe it is a tallow, you know, either residue or ingredient or just straight up tallow, which, you know, tallow comes from cow, guys. So you're literally, meat. Yeah, that's right. Fries are meat. Surprise, surprise. You didn't expect that plot twist in this podcast. Breaking news.
So it's not vegan. Don't eat fries.
Yeah, don't eat fries.
If you're vegan.
You know what? Give the fries to us. No, but you know, but honestly, yeah. You know, fast food in general is just so engineered to be good to us. And for the most part, it tastes really good.
Because it's convenient.
Yeah. But once you break out of that and you get into the habit of eating real foods... homemade foods, or maybe, you know, you have someone that does them, or maybe you just go to a really, I guess, sustainable or restaurant that adds in, you know, a lot of good ingredients, and you'll realize that you're not missing out much. I mean, I don't think I've had McDonald's in years, and yeah. I'm proud to be McDonald's free. I made it out of the system.
No, I mean, I see where you, like, what you're talking about, because I used to be addicted to McDonald's. My girlfriend would basically know what I'm talking about. I used to get literally 4 spices.
Ooh.
And it's the most dangerous thing you can do to your body.
You know what got us addicted to that? The school lunches. Remember they have the spicy chicken sandwiches?
Yes.
Yeah, I swear. It's like preparatory addiction so that when you grow up, you get addicted to, like, the McDonald's equivalent.
It's like, $1.50, $1, and then you got the students addicted and all that.
Oh, my gosh. I could say so many things about school lunch. Do you have any horror stories about school lunch growing up?
Burritos, but the plastic ones that look like total crap.
You know, like, what?
What am I eating?
Okay, but have you ever found something potentially deadly in your food? Because I have.
Share us what you have. I don't think I remember.
All right, are you guys ready? So this was 4 score and no, I don't know how many years ago was it.
It was like
8, 10 years ago. I don't know.
9 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
We're old.
Yeah, so I was in high school, and I think this was like sophomore year or junior year or something, and I was eating a cheese stick, and I love cheese sticks, and I'm like, hey, this is pretty like a vanilla type of, like, you know, lunch food item. Yeah. I usually just scarf it down. I don't usually have to like look twice at my cheese stick, but thankfully I did, and you know what? I'm kind of like those weird people. You know, I know that, like, I guess in proper cheese stick etiquette, you're supposed to, like, peel it, right? I, like, chomp into that, okay? But this time, for some reason, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to chomp into it. I'm going to break it in half or something. I don't know. I was feeling creative. When I broke it in half, there was freaking worms in it.
Oh,
there was worms inside of it, okay? And so, you know, and the cheese stick felt cold, too. So it's not like, oh, we left it out or something. No, it was refrigerated because it felt cold. And it was sealed. I unsealed it, and freaking worms came out of it. And
not how many worms, just one or multiple?
It's got to be multiple, yeah. And it weren't like giant worms, but still, like, I could see them. They were moving around.
Oh, I'm God, like, that's disgusting.
What in the world? This is what the school feeds us. This is what Nevada is feeding us. I mean, come on.
FDA approved.
Yeah, FDA approved, right? Yeah.
My ass.
We all know that means anything. FDA approved. Goodness. So then I reported it, I guess, but not formally. I was just, like, brought up to the attention of, like, I guess the cafeteria hall monitor, or I don't even know how the hierarchy works. The cafeteria mall cop? No. But, I showed it to him. Hey, this thing has worms in it. And straight up, he was like, oh, wow. Picked it up with the rest of my food that I had finished. Tossed it to the trash. Didn't say anything else. Just moved on with his day.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm like, oh, all right. So screw us, right? So,
sure. So basically, you're saying elementary school, middle school, high school basically could have some... basically some worms inside our food.
Some worms inside the food, guys. Get it right, okay? The school is out to kill us, and so is McDonald's, okay? And with that, we're going to take a brief commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to more Midnight Musings. And we're back to more Midnight Musings, more madness. And we just left off a pretty interesting conversation. We were talking about how the cafeteria food is deadly, but it's all part of the greater kind of conversation that we're talking about, you know, nutrition and fitness. You know, talking about nutrition, what are some of the foods that you go for? I mean, are you like an advocate of like a specific superfood, or you know, what does Jeremiah like to eat?
Now that I'm watching what I eat, I'm more into cashews or walnuts. I'm more into like berries and all that. If I'm looking for a snack instead of going for chips. So yeah. Doritos are out. Cheetos are out.
Jeez. The big cheese is out? Oh my gosh.
I don't do hot Cheetos anymore. I mean, I love them, but I know if I go back, I'm going to go back indefinitely. Like...
Mm.
I want to have that discipline of, like, just saying no.
Just say no. I mean, look at all these themes right now. These are all, like, literally, like, it sounds like dare. Like,
yeah.
Don't do drugs, because fast food is like drugs, and don't talk to strangers. And...
I mean, it's not bad, but I think moderation is good.
Yeah.
But I know myself. If you know yourself, basically.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. Like, for example, if someone who recovered from drug addiction or a alcoholic is not going to work at a bar.
Right.
or a pharmacist because they can't control themselves.
Right. You know, and that actually goes back to really interesting talk that I listened to one time. Don't ask me the author because it's just a random talk. Okay, just take it for what it is, guys. But you know, the concept is about danger and like knowing your limits and knowing your boundaries. And so there was a job interview and the story going on. Mm-hmm. And the interview was for a professional trucker, okay? Big semi, big heavy equipment, very expensive, very life-threatening because it was for a position up a very high mountain. And so the people interviewed were all asked the same question. And the question was, how far off the ledge can you safely drive by? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as they're interviewing people, you know, the first person says, oh, yeah, I can drive within like 3 feet off the ledge and still be safe.
Yeah.
The second person says, oh, that's nothing. I can drive within 1 feet of the ledge and still be safe. But they're not getting the satisfactory answer. The third person comes and he says, I can drive as far away from the ledge as possible. That's his qualifying thing, is as far as possible. So you're not trying to like, oh man, how much closer can I get to danger? Like you're actively telling yourself, as far away as I can get, that's how close I'm going to get, you know? Yeah. And so that's an interesting lesson for us, you know, as we it's a dangerous world, you know, no matter what it is, whether you're struggling with, you know, food or other things, or your mental health, like don't limit yourself and try to be like, yeah, okay, this is the safe zone. Whatever more distance you can place between yourself and things that can cause you harm.
Yeah.
Stay away, right?
I mean, I read a book. It's by Gary Keller. It's called One Thing.
See, he remembers his authors.
So it's a great book. Read it. So it's more of a productivity book, but it's more of a mental book for me. But there's one thing that I took home with that is it takes about 66 days before your habit kicks in. So for me, my New Year's resolution, I have no New Year's resolution because I don't believe in that. I believe in habit.
Right.
So with the no coffee, going back to the no coffee thing, that started May of last year.
Wow.
So it's almost a year.
You're going strong, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
I've taken a little bit of like sip from hers, but then I feel disgusted. Like maybe because it's bitter.
Right.
Or maybe I'm just like, I hate coffee now.
So I feel like this is a really interesting kind of topic because on one camp, you have people that literally can't function or do anything without their coffee. And you have a very small marginal group that, you know, is coming out of that or coffee was never their thing. So, you know, for you, it sounds like you started off really, you know, enjoying coffee. So what was some of the factors or the strategies? What did you use to kind of get off of that?
So one of them, I mean, maybe people would probably say maybe you should use almond milk.
Okay.
Because I had bloating problems. I think I'm lactose intolerant.
Okay.
So with the cream and the coffee mixed together,
yeah,
I would have stomach problems.
Okay.
So I think that's one factor that led me to start quitting. And then it was the weight gain.
Mm.
So I would literally... If you're watching this as a barista at the Starbucks, like literally.
He has beef with you right now.
No. So they would literally know who I am.
Okay.
Because I'm like regular, like three, four times a day. I mean, not day.
Thank you for donating to the Starbucks Corporation.
I would literally go to drive-thru. I would say the size of my cup. I was like, venti, I want, you know, caramel frappuccino, extra caramel. And they're like, oh, it's you. Pull up to the
front. Oh, it's you.
Yeah, pull up to the front. But yeah, literally, it got that bad to where the syrup, you know, caramel is made out of butter.
Okay.
So literally, I started gaining weight because of my extra, like, I keep adding, like, extra syrup.
Right. It's literally, like, butter and sugar, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's all it is. It's kind of interesting, you know, because it's like we see it as like something, you know, like caramel is just caramel. Like, no, it's not. It doesn't come from a plant or something.
It's made out of butter, sugar, and fat.
Yeah. have some much healthier chocolate, okay? Chocolate is a plant. Thank you very much. At least, you know, more refined chocolate or raw dark, chocolate. Yeah.
Dark chocolate's, they say it's better for you than milk chocolate.
So here's something that's kind of interesting. So we've all heard of Popeye the Sailor Man, okay? Yeah. And so Popeye was very much popularized by spinach, right? Spinach is good for you. Spinach has so much health benefits. Spinach is actually no longer considered a superfood.
Why is
that? Behold, you've been all tricked your whole life. Okay, so let me get down into this. So I'm going to shout out The Food Theorist. I freaking love that channel. It's just so creative. And so what they do is they take, you know, myths or claims, and they try to myth bust them in a way, right? They try to dive deeper into the facts and the studies.
Yeah.
So this all came about, I think it was late 1800s or early 1900s or something, and this scientist, or fraud, he falsely claimed, I believe it was mistakenly at the time, but he never corrected himself, he claimed that spinach had 34% of your daily iron intake in a serving. Okay, you're thinking 34%. Okay, like that's like super helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was actually 3.4%.
Oh my
god. Wah, wah, wah.
So that's so far off.
3%. That's so far off. 10 times far off. And not only that, the serving size is ridiculous. Because when you look at serving size, at least in the US, I don't know if there's like a universal size, but I think there is. Like universally, like most things are measured in 100 grams. Yeah. Just so that you know, if I compare 100 grams of this to this, how is it going to compare? Do you know how much it is to have 100 grams of spinach? Like, you're talking about, like, basically the whole bag. No one uses the whole bag for themselves for spinach. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you eat a whole bag of spinach?
No. Wow,
he's going to say yes.
I did half once.
Yeah.
And it was horrible.
So you basically got about 1% of your daily intake of iron, or did you?
It was like, so if you say 3%, that was basically 1.5%.
Okay, well now I'm going to actually throw you off even more, because not only does it spinach suck, it sucks even more. So the absorbency rate is never talked about. When people market and they talk about grams and they talk about, and I know I'm getting super technical with this, guys, but I just literally, I saw this recently and I thought it was so interesting. Your body's ability to absorb iron from plants plants like spinach is a 1% absorption rate. So basically, if you had what was marketed to you as 1.5% of your daily intake, guess what? Your body's only going to be able to absorb 1% of that. So you literally went from 34% of your daily intake to you got, what, 0.01% of your iron intake? Yeah, so take that, spinach.
So basically, the whole marketing of Popeye the Sailor Man was like just a superhero, like fictional.
It's a scam, bro.
Yeah.
It's a scam. You guys have been scammed and bamboozled, and Popeye is a sham artist, okay? And so it's super interesting because, okay, you compare that to another food that gets a lot of hate, and rightfully, sometimes it gets hate, right? Which is chocolate. Okay, chocolate gets a lot of hate. But for all you noobs, chocolate comes from the cacao fruit. I guess it's a vegetable. I don't know. I don't care for that. But what's important to know is that the cacao, so if you're having like dark chocolate, like at least 70-something% dark chocolate, I believe that has an estimated 12% of your daily value of chocolate, I'm sorry, of iron in one bar of, you know, a 70% dark chocolate. So, yeah, dark chocolate absolutely destroys spinach when it comes to getting your daily iron intake. So if you're anemic, throw away the spinach and have some dark chocolate.
The whole bar.
Mic drop. Yeah, the whole bar.
The whole bar for one day.
Yeah.
That's get your iron.
And that's the madness behind it. I mean, you know, there's so many different, like, nutritional scams, but I think that's just something to be weary for. So, you know, as we're closing this out, and I know we had this awful long talk about spinach. Name drop us. What are some of those favorite foods? Because I know you're Filipino. I know you got that good stuff, okay? He was really... We did an episode for his business. This was last week or something.
Yeah.
And he was just name dropping all these good foods. So now that we've talked about health and... you know, nutrition, all this stuff. I think it's only fair to talk about balance, right? I mean, you have to balance out. Yeah. There's some things that, okay, cool. They're not the most nutritionally sound things, but they make us happy. So what are some things that, you know, really make you happy that you go out to eat?
So, I mean, we're talking about balance.
Yeah.
And I at least have cheat days maybe once or twice a week.
Okay.
I should only be once now.
Okay.
It should turn to just once. I'm still working on it, but if we were to go to just a fast food restaurant that I really love, and it's to reward myself for being good all week,
yeah,
it's Jollibee. So I love spaghetti Ooh. With hot dogs and cheese. So that's about, I don't know, like 650 calories.
Yeah,
and I remember that because I'm looking.
Because he's addicted. That's why.
I'm addicted to like trying to. Be fit, because I mean I'm addicted to basically for change. I want change in life, because I'm tired of, you know, I think one thing that made me change and look at calories, I think I had a basketball game like a couple months ago,
okay,
and I was in the middle of the court and I was struck by a backache.
Okay. Explain that to our basketball newbies. What just happened?
So I went for try to get the rebound, try to get the ball.
Right.
And it landed, and next thing you know, I could hardly move. I was like, I couldn't run at all. And my teammates would basically know, because I'm like the rebounder of the team.
Mm.
So they're like, you're not yourself. Like, right. You're right. You want to go out. I'm like, I'm waving them off. I'm like, no sub. Get out.
Right.
And they're like, don't force it. You're going to get injured. So I think within 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, I need to get out.
You know, I think sometimes we all need these kind of reality checks, right? Because I think one of the hardest things to face is the fact that, you know, we have mortality. And sometimes we grow confident in the things that we're good at, you know. But if we don't back that up with just overall health and fitness, like it's really hard to keep doing what we love.
Yeah.
So I think that's so I, you know, I like to end these with some type of challenge or something. So for the audience, I think I want to challenge them a couple things. Number one, throw away your spinach. Okay. No, but okay. For the real challenges of the evening, I think we're going to start off with challenge number one is do a physical sport. Or at least try one out for a substantial amount of time. Preferably something that's a highly team-related sport. You know, I think based off what Jeremiah is saying and, you know, a lot of other things that we study online, it's real good for your health. So online team. And then, you know, try to push yourself to do something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone when it comes to your dietary habits. Okay, try not to indulge as much and the delicious mouth watering advertised fast food. And yeah, you know, I think I'll end it at that. So those are two challenges for the night. Now, before we step out, Jeremiah, do you have anything else to say to contribute to our watchers?
Like starting off with new things. Yes, it's hard. Like me being on social media, I'm an introvert. You think I'm this extrovert who loves videos and all that.
Right.
I'm actually not. I'm totally an introvert. So with that, I'm correlating that with health and fitness. That's going to be hard the first time. I think my first meal, trying to count calories after my brother told me just start counting that.
Right.
Was instead of a full foot long sub, I usually eat a foot long sub by myself in within 10 minutes.
Nice.
And
scarf it down.
And it's like finished, like new record, or four tacos within 5 minutes. Like, who does that?
But you know what? I think you brought up something too, which is kind of interesting. You brought out the counting calories, and normally people would do that through like the nutrition information, right?
Yeah.
And you know what's kind of interesting too is that this is going to be the third challenge as well, is be aware of what you're putting inside your body. You don't necessarily have to calculate everything about your meal, but this is challenge number three. And you know what I find this kind of interesting is you will have a lot of opposition, more than you think. Actually, so I don't remember where it was. I think it was Pennsylvania, because I don't know, Pennsylvania is weird. But it was this, and I don't actually dislike Pennsylvania, okay? It's just, there was an article that came about, and it was about a university removing the nutrition labels off of their cafeteria food because it offended certain people. And they didn't want to look at the nutrition labels because
bunch of Karens.
Yeah, bunch of Karens, whatever. They claimed, I think the premise was that it was fat phobic to list the nutrition values. Listen, I don't care what anyone says. Being fat is not healthy, okay? You can have some curves, some weight, you know, but if you're going to die by the age of 30, I guess enjoy being obese and overweight. But the rest of us, the population, wants to live a long and plentiful and happy life we want to be fulfilling in our life. So don't stop us, okay? We're not stopping you from eating McDonald's 10 times a day. If you want to have McDonald's 20 times a day, by all means, splurge.
I mean, being fat is, we're not saying you're, you know, we're cast out from the society. Yeah. We're saying it's, you know, it's not really good for you.
I mean, Santa Claus is fat, right? We still love Santa Claus, I think.
I have a bunch of people who are, you know, name dropping. But I mean, with me being 5'9", 5'8", I don't even know what height I am.
Yeah.
That 210 pounds was overweight.
Okay.
So I think reality check, because my brother is fitness fanatic and he was a personal trainer, so I'm like, hey, am I overweight for this height? And he's like, yeah, you are.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, guys, so thank you so much for tuning in. This has been such a great convo. I look forward to doing this again. Thank you again, Jeremiah. I hope to have
thanks
you on
for
future
having me.
Episodes. Absolutely. So with that, we're gonna be out. Peace.